budget last year 75.
And I think that'll keep going. Of course, we're kind of in a mini boom.
Now be careful, yeah, because that sounds. But I mean, it's for us, it's a kind of a boom. Mm-hmm. So we'll see where that goes. Bottom, there's your 54,000 in. Last year we transferred 35 in. So see, it's about a $19,000 difference because we just don't have the revenue we needed in there. There's our advertising. When we run anything on planning, send out. We have to send out notices by law. Neighbors and all those kind of things. The contract services, go back to that last page, see where that 50. 36 is our planning consultant. Everyone get back there? Mm-hmm. 6,000 is code enforcement, and then engineering of 8,000.
What's code enforcement? What are we enforce? What codes?
All our codes.
Like businesses?
No, this is the stuff that you like. This is code enforcement. Code enforcement is basically, I mean, businesses, but it's going to Kegel and doing things. So that's where that is.
Okay.
The county, and then also the plan, depending on the planner, some planners will do some code enforcement. Our planner left us. Our current planner doesn't do code enforcement. Not in his repertoire. You know, some people can play three instruments and some play two. And that just wasn't part of his package. He's resigned. And so I'm interviewing one tomorrow that is part of their repertoire. So, but they all bill by the hour. So if they do it, you pay. But they have to feel comfortable with it. And then the other thing that will happen when you see the personal services, when we get a full-time assistant for me, they can go do the entry level, because what I really want to get to where is when you call and complain, he's one of my regulars. Not teasing him. He's been great.
At least you know what's out there.
Yeah, then I can send someone out. We can send someone out to take the photos. Because he can send me some, which are good, but we got to go get them with the right date. I get these cameras, people send me things, I don't know how to set the date, and it was taken 2 years ago in the date. Well, you go to court with a picture that's 2 years off. Those things just don't work. So we got to go take our own photo. We can then research, and I have them right now. They go, when they get a complaint, they'll go look up, get the county records. We want to know tax lots, ownership, taxes are paid, all those things. So you kind of build that. Mm-hmm. Then you have to decide where we want to go with it and where's its priority in our system. And you have to call the person first, and that's where the stories begin. I don't own it, I lease. It's my neighbor's stuff who left it here. I don't have a job right now, I'm gonna do it next week. I don't have a job right now, I'm doing it next month. In the case next to Stu, it's being moved in because the county has a code enforcement case against them. So they're all connected in the city and out. None of this is simple, and there is a story to tell with some history in each and every case. Banks foreclosed. The bank doesn't care. It's in the middle of a foreclosure. It hasn't yet foreclosed. It's in the person's name that you called. And they say, well, I'm losing it anyway. Well, the bank's 6 months away from getting ownership. So all of the above. So anyway, I think we're going to do a lot more in code enforcement.
Good.
We will not meet your expectations, but we're going to get closer.
Mine is being garbage. Off the record, there's neighbors around there and I'm getting rats that they never had before.
It's everywhere. I mean, it's just...
When one guy got rid of his trash for the health department, they dug a big hole in the backyard and buried it.
See, that particular case where we don't...
Right, I know, that's the one that's moving ahead.
That one's going to...
But the next door neighbor now got trash as big as this room.
Yeah.
This, you can see that.
Ken, I'm glad you're my neighbor.
The council's prioritized code enforcement, the community wants it. So spend more effort on it than I can tell you in a bunch of places. You know, the counties is you have to complain. In other words, if I just go out and see it here, I mean, half the time it's just ones I see and will initiate it. Deschutes County will not their driver can drive, their code guy can drive by. It has to be a signed complaint from a citizen.
That's why I talked to the health department.
And that's why, you know, we're actually pretty aggressive. Legal fees, like right now in this one you just mentioned with the dump. Jeremy Green had to sit with us for an hour and a half in a meeting the other day because now we're going to move up the food chain. It may end up in court. Meetings, obviously, you got to educate people, and then just kind of the postage and all those kind of things. Bottom line is, planning is going to cost us more. No way around it. And it's important. Not just codes, just in general.
Back on contract services page, I have a question on the engineering services for community development. What would that...
That would be, good, I'm glad you asked. You know, we have a project right now that's building some apartments that we've talked about at different times. And they had engineers. So about, like I said about the ODOT, ODOT has people to put everything together. So we're reviewing it. And then we realized, you know, we need someone that knows from an engineering standpoint. And an example, we went and paid it. I haven't got a bill yet. So it cost us probably, oh, I don't know, I'll bet it's $1,000 it will be to review that from the engineer standpoint. So when a person pays $4,000 for their application, they're all thinking it's not right. But when you start adding up the true cost, we don't cover our cost. But what he discovered, this is a quick, easy one that I thought was interesting, because we did not know this, because that's not my thing. I mean, I'm not an engineer. The one thing we know about sewage, it has one direction, it must travel. Mm-hmm. And it gets used sometimes when we talk about friends and neighbors. Which direction it travels, up or down. But it does travel better down. And or it has to be pumped up. Well, the plants have no pump. So it's a safe assumption it's going down. Well, the sewer line is already on Huntington Road. It's there. It's at a certain depth. When you start at the far end of that new project, at the slopes that it has to be to keep it moving, when it hits the road, it's 4 feet below it. Mm-hmm. Because you're going a long distance, and you have to have a grade, mm-hmm. and the sewage line on Huntington isn't that deep. Therefore, it's this much of a gap.
Got to come up.
It has to come up. Well, how do you get it up? Pump it. The engineer. This is a good one, like the TSP, the Transportation System Plan that we've approved. It says how wide Huntington Road needs to be. And when you want to develop, is this true anywhere? These people developing have to move the road over and do the things. They have to give up the easement or the land, actually give up the land that's required. Well, in their plan, they gave up, I want to say, about 2 feet, and it all works in their layout. But when you look at the TSP, and then you measure from center line, it needed to be 6 feet. So the plant's 4 feet short. Go over on Coach Street, behind by the schools, it's 2 feet short. Go over on Veterans Way, and I think it's 2 feet short. Well, it's a long list. So those are the things the engineer does. And so we need someone that can do that. And that's what we're doing. So we'll probably, you know, I think, Kitty, we're going to spend more on that.
I figured that's probably what it was, and I had a little question mark. Enough?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure it's enough. So my follow-up question then was, when you have to spend more, that's just going to come out of general fund?
Yeah, exactly,
something.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you may see that one go up more, but I'm hoping then we'll get another, $25,000 in income. You know, it'll kind of... Okay, skip tourism, come if you want. Reserve fund, this is a quick... and you'll see, this is our reserves for water and sewer. You know, again, those are multi-million dollar systems, and we save, yeah, part of your, it's like a depreciation. You have to have money set aside for replacement of pipes and pumps and things. And like, we're going to spend $200,000 on the pump station over at Wickiup.
Okay, where are we? Where are
page 10.
Page 10.
Okay.
So that will come out of this. Because its pumps aren't working, it's got some problems. We didn't spend too much. In fact, if you'll notice, we didn't spend any of this last year. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I need to change on this, so if you want to write it in, because we're going to spend about $200,000 on sewer, so RFC has capital outlay, I probably need to put it hasn't been bid yet, So I need to put 250,000.
In projection?
Projection. No, for proposed. For this budget, because this is going to be after July 1.
250K?
Yeah. And what I'll do is I lower the 750. That'll become 500.
Okay, so we have...
On line 26, 550, 5550.
For water and
under
for
capital.
Sewer?
Well, bet they...
Or
well, the sewer side.
Okay.
That may end up getting its own number, actually. But that needs to be 250 because we're going to spend about 200 over at the pump station at Wickia. So what we do is to balance it, I have to lower the 750 to 500 because that's reserved for the future because we spent 250. Does everyone follow that?
Where's the 750 down in reserve?
Yeah. Right. See, I can't use reserves in the year that's here. That has to carry forward. Since we're going to spend it, that's what we did in the roads. Okay. You have to keep moving them. And I was asleep, thought of this the other morning at 3 a.m., I think. Because I remembered the last Friday, the engineer stopped in Madras at my office, and we spent a couple hours on this. So, that's a change. Make sure, Patty, make sure you make a note of that. Just email me. Ashley, would you email me, please?
Yeah.
That 250,000 in the reserve fund. I'll do it.
Into
okay.
Its own
yeah.
Capital
just all you have to do is tell me.
Just so you know.
Just tell me 250. Then that's my. Is everyone okay on that?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. SDC fund. Income. You're guessing when people pay system development charges. We actually took in 19 so far in sewer and 4,600 in water. I put 7,500 in water and 20,000 in sewer. If it doesn't come in, it just carries forward. Now, in this fund, we haven't spent any, but I did go ahead and put some capital just in case we do, you know, and that's what they say is you need to keep some over here, and I didn't do it in that last fund. I don't know that we have any project to spend it on right now, but if we do. Now, here you'll see, then you've got about $1,000,001 in future expenditures. So we have total between the two, $1.6 million in reserve, in SDC reserves. Give credit to the water and sewer districts that they did a good job of setting it up from an SDC standpoint. And one thing about them, you know, because they didn't care if people liked them so much, they charged what they charged, and if you didn't like it, they thanked you and moved on.
Yeah.
Now, that's what made some people not like them much. But maybe there's a little lesson for us in the future in that. But because this, I can tell you that the city of Madras city water system, they don't have 250,000 in reserves, I don't think.
Whoa. Wow.
I mean, part of the thing is our water system's new. You don't start spending that money for 30 or 40 years, and Kitty was involved in that. But see, you need that million or two then. Mm-hmm. It goes back to what we were trying to do with roads and the roofs. We're learning from these other cities if we manage this right and don't get spendy and greedy and things, but this no one is. But we've got, well, between the two, you got what, 1.6 here and 1.35? Mm-hmm. $3 million. And so what we can do, we can, like, if we do the Kegel project, we can put some money toward it, but we get it back, so that we get that back, see, over time. Mm-hmm. That's a flexibility a lot of places don't have. So anyway, you guys, I think this is good. And SDC will be changing a little bit. We'll be doing some work on that. Debt reserve, this is the loan on the water fund. They require you hold the last payment. This will be paid off in 20 years or something. This will be here every year until it's paid. It's the final payment. They make you have 1 year in reserve. It's a requirement of the USDA loans.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that money just sits there. So that's another 200 grand, actually, that's in the sewer water reserves, if you want to call it that. But you can't touch it. Okay? Water fund. Here... Look at your, the bulk of the income, really. Go to the 550, and we're going to project this year water service, 525. We're going to do some water rate changes. It's going to go up 3%, and that'll be work on that tomorrow night. Water goes up and down a little bit based on, obviously, price will affect it, so you might have a little reduction. Weather. So, and the other stuff is backflow testing and basically late fees and things don't amount to too much. The payroll there, the bulk, we basically take our public works people, you'll see it in that other spreadsheet, and they split their time between sewer and water with 10% going to roads. So 40% or 45%. 45%. Expenses here, this is just more of what you call to run the operation. And that difference is what we transferred to the reserve. So we transferred in money into the reserve. And you'll notice when we get there, you'll see where we transferred out $400,000, and that's because there was extra carried over. Nothing really jumps out at you. Materials and services is the big one, the 50 grand. And again, that's if we had a pipe break. We got to go get backhoes and dig up a, 100 feet or 100 yards of pipe and replace it. You don't know when that's going to happen, and that's not considered capital because this is a repair. So this is kind of more of your ongoing stuff. And same thing, we share some legal fees. Water, you can get into more of this stuff. We are changing, kind of, you'll see a lot of changes in how we're doing things in billing with that. Any questions there?
License and permits and locates, that's just falling off the line item thing because...
If it's blank.
Because it's just not that big of a...
Yeah. Yeah. And that's one thing that Summer Sears was helping us. She said, you need to combine some of this stuff.
You know,
look at a little more of the... you can go into the detail, but for the budget, this thing is so long.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Capital is the equipment purchases, nothing specific planned. Water master plan update. That's what we're spending in cable. Now we're getting some grant money in, but we are spending some money to do, and you'll see the same thing in sewer. A lot of times you can duplicate the two because we split things, but that will help do the update that's going on right now. And engineering costs, there's always lots of engineering. We've spent 15, 8, and we figure we're gonna spend 16 this year on sewer, or water, excuse me. There's our USDA loan payment. That loan that you saw earlier, that's the one we're saving, this is the actual payment. That's the 15 grand put into the general fund at the beginning on that first page. We transferred in 15. This is its transferring out. It came out of water into the general fund. So 15 out, 15 in. The 400, we transferred. If you go back to the reserve page, you'll see where 400 grand came in. This is where it came from. And so in the future, that kind of number wouldn't be here, that because we don't save that much every year. This is partly getting the budgets in tune to what we do. And before, we used to kind of carry lots over, and then we didn't really have reserve funds. And we're trying to get things set aside to where you have reserve funds and things. And now, the only thing to transfer to the reserve fund would be the difference between our kind of what we spend and our income. And maybe every year that's 50 or 100 grand, It won't be these kind of numbers. And we have 200,000 contingency. Again, contingency could be spent. That's if, an earthquake hit and our main line between here and the pumps was severed. What if the whole pumping thing went down?
Yeah. Right.
Not probably going to happen, but it's not spent either. It's just there. Okay, so the big issue there is really some changes in the water rates, and we don't need to go to it tomorrow night. That's an interesting discussion. If you want to come down, we'll spend most of our meeting tomorrow on water rates and sewer rates, and we'll have the consultant here. So it's a 3% rate increase is what it averages out. Now, some people will see more, and some will see a reduction, but it's across the board, it's 3%. Unappropriate Indian fund balance, 200 grand, and that's your budget. Again, that can't be spent. Go to sewer, same basic thing. Now here, I have not figured out, it was kind of weird. Sewer, 460. Now, we're projecting a 10% rate increase in sewer. Sewer is the most underfunded, that's just because it's an expensive deal. And last year we budgeted 420. We're gonna take in 430, so it's just a hair over. And then I added the increase, basically. Septage, you'll notice 85 grand is what I project, but only went 50. That's where the people with septic tanks, the big pumpers, like Kitty doesn't use it, but that kind of a company. We're getting a bunch of bin people dumping here, and that's because our rate's real low. And we know it needs to be raised, and we plan on raising that later in the year, or at some point this year, before next year, and when our study is done. One of my concerns is that you're taking it in, but a sewer has a capacity. You can only put so many solids into the system to where the amoebas and the things do their business. They have to eat each other and
bacteria.
Bacteria, you know, it's way above my pay grade. But I'm you got to balance it. And one of the things I've been concerned is we're just taking anyone that wants to come dump. If we throw our system off, how much capacity? What my question is to the engineers. We're going to know in about October or November how much we take all those gallons in. What of that capacity are they consuming? Because if they're, say, 25% of our capacity, if we stopped them, we now have 25% more capacity, which delays us making an expansion. If we're overloading the system, and we're already at 80%, then I know in 5 years we're going to have to expand. And we don't have as much room cutting them back. We cut them back by price. Price cuts them back. So I want to know those numbers. So we know.
We don't have contracts with them, right?
No.
Right.
No, they just show up.
Right. Now, I don't understand. Ben is dumping what? Here.
Wait a second. She's uttering. We don't have a contract.
We don't have a contract, but we have to give them permission to dump. They can't just show up.
He meant that we're obligated to.
We don't have a 5-year contract.
We could shut them off.
And who's dumping? I don't get what.
All the houses, all the people that have septic systems from here to Sun River.
Okay.
And you see these, what are the names of the companies that are your competitors? Who are they?
Ed Jones.
Yeah, any of these companies, they go out, then they fill that tank. They have to get rid of it. So they go, in Madras, they do this in Bend, they go to the city sewer plants. Some have facilities they can get rid of it on their own property, although that's difficult today, and you know, a lot of them don't have it. But they come and they dump that raw sewage in.
Right at the system?
Yes. The difference is, and that someone had explained to me this once, our system, while we dump it in, we've collected the solids, but during that time the liquid also came in. When we bring in someone else's solids, there's no liquid to match it. If all of those people were on sewer throughout the year, it's not, you can't count it that day, but throughout the year, our system, our ponds would be bigger with water, because that's coming in every day. If we had another 100 houses in Lapine, all day long, water's coming in from washing machines, flushing toilets, and you're diluting. When they bring in, and so again, it's way above my pay grade, but when you bring in that tank, it's 100% solid.
No,
it's not 100%.
It's not even close to 100%.
Well, but it's not like, it's not adding washing machines and things. When you actually
it's a lot more solids than.
No, if you take it by the gallons, if you take it by the gallons, in a year, if you take, pump out what you're going to get out of a septic tank, and you take how many gallons, thousands of gallons that people put down their drains, right now it's all going in there. But those are going out into their drain fields. Right? It's going into everyone's drains fields. We're not getting any of that. So it's a to the system, it's a stronger load. Mm-hmm. Therefore, it puts a bigger drain on. And again, I'm not the person to talk about this, but if you get that.
Ideas there.
Yeah.
So, bottom line is, we want to know, where are we?
Yeah.
Because the cost is so great. And if those guys are, if they can drive a truck from Bend, pay the wages of the driver,
and the
time away to come here.
Wow.
You know, I wonder if that's what they're doing, is because that seems to be your perception of it. I wonder if that's what they're doing, is bringing their especially dirty, heavy loads. Because, I mean, you know, we've been doing this for over 50 years.
Yeah.
And if people are pumping their septic tanks regularly, it's like 25%, 30% solids and the rest is water.
Oh, you're correct.
In the tank. So, but when people don't pump their septic tanks like they should, you can have a tank that has almost no water in it at all. So that might be what they're doing, because I'll bet they're getting charged mm-hmm. more in Bend.
Well, they're more per gallon.
To take that kind heavy, of a load.
Heavy solids.
I bet that might be what's going on.
I know that one thing that Scott says happens is that they...
He says no.
No, Scott says that, I used to listen to Scott on that because I'm not out there, but mm-hmm. Scott says that one of the things that they catch them, they come in, he thinks that they do, if they've done a load in, say, the Deschutes County Bend area, and then their next day they got a call here, they got to drive here anyway. They drive down the load they kept in the truck because they had to come here.
Yeah.
They get rid of it at half the price. They then go pump them, call it the Lapine area load, dump it, they go back empty.
Yeah.
So there's all of that. Mm-hmm. But that's a big number. We're taking in a lot of money. It's a great number. But I did reduce it because of our price increase. We may lose some of that.
Do we know how we compare to Bend on that?
Well, we will. All of that will be coming.
That's part
of it. Last I knew, we were about 30% of the rate per gallon that Bend charges.
Oh, wow.
We're well under half of what they charge.
Oh, wow.
It's one reason that they come here instead.
That's
a big... Does it make a different rate for people that dump in your system?
Yeah. Oh, we don't know. We can change that rate. We just got to know. We just don't have the mechanics to know that yet.
Okay.
That's coming in October. Same thing with payroll. It's exactly the same as the water fund. It's split the same. And you'll find, again, now the difference here, the biggie is sewer systems are more expensive, so materials and services, $100,000, and instead of $50,000. Things in sewers are real expensive, real fast. There's high electricity bills there because we have lots of pumps up at the plant that churn everything up that's in there circulating around. Same 35,000 contract services, same as we have, and that helps pay for our financial services, engineers, some of that. Equipment purchase, $25,000. There's the wiki at lift station. I put it here, so do I need to? I already put it here, so maybe I don't need to do that. Send me that email and I'll check that. So I might have to change that back since it's here.
Okay.
We will. So we could be okay on that reserve fund since it's $200,000 here. I'm glad I put it in here.
That'd be sweet.
And you didn't need to wake up the other
night. Yeah, right. Well, I'm trying to think of these projects that we're going to do ahead. So there's there. And then on the transfers, there's our $15,000 to the general fund and $150,000 went into reserves. $200,000 contingency and our unappropriated. So that's... So again, I think really it's, you know, we're spending good money on streets and roads, and that's kind of where it's going. Sewer and water. We're running it quite a bit cheaper than the districts, and that's good. And that's something our consultant, our operation costs are about $100,000 less than the districts did. So that's one reason we have some money to put forward. And it's because we have shared expenses. They used to spend $10,000 for the Waterford audit, $10,000 to the sewer for the audit, something like that. And now we're spending $6,000. And you know, they paid rent on buildings and just different things that they did. So we share finance. So anyway, that's been good. If that hadn't, you know, you would theoretically have higher rate increases. Now if you want to move to the tourism fund and then save up your questions, Ashley.
Page.
Let me just go through the, and we can kind of look at that.
What page you got?
Oh, that's page 8. Um, the motel tax is going to take in about 100. We had 58 carried over, although that's going to come down because that's more than we would need. So you can look at it this year, there's a little more than you will normally have. And so part of it's just because it's that, remember how we talked about if it's not spent, it gets carried over. Well, over the last, we've carried it over, been real conservative here. So my guess is next year that could be 25 or 30,000, which is plenty. So think of it, this is a little higher. Don't think you're going to always have this much money. So that's important. I can't predict motel rates and occupancy, but the chamber is our agreement with the chamber to provide tourism is 52,000. We talked, the community fund is unrestricted. Some of the carryover, basically I allocated 3,000 of that went to this, and we transferred 5 in. If you notice above, we put 5 in under the 100 grand. You transfer in. That's really how we make up the 8, so it's unrestricted, because everything else in here is pretty restricted. Tourism promotions is TRT restricted. I put the TRT next to them on most of those just to kind of help you. Contracted services, that's if some promotion came along, advertising, something we wanted to do. We haven't done that in the past because we haven't had the money in the fund. My choice was either to take the community fund, or I mean the tourism promotion, and up it. And I was afraid if I made that number too big, then it's a bit of a trough. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they come running.
Yeah.
So it's, and the other thing was, it could be some one-time things that we may want down the road. If it isn't spent, it's going to get carried forward. And so that's kind of how that went. And then you'll see Frontier Days, we've been giving them 2,500 and they were here the other night. We were giving the rodeo 25, but we also gave them this year another 5 and we split that between last year and this year. So theoretically that could be 2,500 next year. If, you know, if they didn't do the dance, they don't come back for another music. Usually they always do. Once you do it once, they come back. But and then the arts and culture that the mayor presented last meeting was new. That's 5,000. There's our 30,000 transferred out. And then I did this capital. There's another, that because we have extra money, it may be a one-time thing. I thought 13,000 might, one of my thoughts was maybe the Welcome to Lapine nice monument sign, start building a fund for that. Those are expensive. I mean, mattresses was 75,000. Redmond has 2 of them, and they probably spent $500,000. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go spend the 50 or 100 grand, but this has to be spent on tourism, so this won't help code enforcement. It can't help those things. Can't go on roads. Can't by law. So, you know, I thought, and maybe we're not deciding today does it go to a welcome sign, but maybe if you get 25 or 30 grand in there next year, we could take one end.
Right.
See, it something like it. It could go to the bike hub. Maybe we say, you know, the bike hub isn't really mature enough yet. Let's wait on that. And if it comes along halfway through the year, the council will be able to say, hey, we could put X toward it if they come in with a full proposal and everything. So now, it's your fun time. You've had the red, Ashley did a good job of highlighting the reds were the requests.
The reds are the requests, and then after each request, this is where you end up. This is what you started with, this is where you end up. And it gets down to these big numbers here. And then these are the ones that we already have the budget, so they don't really affect these things up here.
So those were requests, and the thing I was talking earlier, you know, you have the request, you're comfortable with that, you, just because you have the extra money, because it carries forward, more requests will come in. If you don't like a dollar amount, or if you think, hey, I'm for this, but I don't want to give that much, or you may decide I want to give more to something. I mean, that's really, and this is a good one for you, that we're going to just write down what you think. And this is one that the former mayor and Chairman Kitty will be able to, hopefully this is one we'd like to hear from everyone on. There's just no silence on this. Because it's the one that means a lot to people. And then Rolando, he was going to abstain on the habitat discussion. Because, and you might want to say that for the record.
Say it now?
Yeah,
I will not be in the discussion for the habitat just because conflict of interest.
Okay.
That's fair. So there you go.
Okay. Well, I'm pretty excited about the Habitat one. There was a lot of passion in his proposal. And not only that, to hear that, we're going to be building more houses than even Ben's building, and I think that this is an area that really needs it. I'm all for the money towards the Habitat.
My second tab is clearly doing a good job and got a lot of momentum right now.
I agree 100%.
They were building when they didn't have enough applicants, and that's changed, and that's wonderful. Now they have more applicants, and people are waiting to get in, and that's wonderful.
Well, I think that shows a lot, too, towards their ability to advertise the program and find applicants.
And qualify them.
And qualify them, exactly. Yeah.
Educate the people. I think they were afraid to apply for it. Now they found it's not so difficult. So I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, I don't know of anyone who doesn't think it's a fabulous organization that does nothing but good, and they have a lot of very, very hard workers. We don't even know how many thousands and thousands of volunteer hours have been put in over the years.
Saturday for Women's Bill Day, they had
45
women, and they only needed 39.
Yeah,
this was in connection with a funding project, and they actually had another 15 or 18 guys, you know. So they had a large group and well met their goal of 16 or 60 people.
Yeah, it's an organization that I think the whole community has a lot of passion for. And does anyone know when these homes are built and the people move in, do we know what the retention rate is? How long do people stay in their homes typically?
See, they don't pay any interest, and the retention is extremely high.
I would imagine. I would hope so.
I know the number is less than five of those that fail.
I think too soon the numbers of the community that get behind the organization is tells us where our community stands on it.
Rick, being on the board, do I need to declare a conflict of interest?
You could declare a potential.
Yeah.
How's that?
Then Ken Molnick's mayor declares a potential conflict of interest being on the board of the Habitat for Humanity.
Well, you can still answer questions like you did for me. I appreciate that.
Actually, he can vote. He can vote as a potential.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah.
He's a direct. He can.
Yeah.
And actually, you can't participate in the discussion on it.
Okay.
As a direct, because you get your paycheck from him.
I do.
The other stuff you can.
Okay.
So maybe you should just decide that one, and then then he can.
Mm-hmm. Were there any more comments? Any more discussion on that?
Karen and Steele, I was watching who's talking. You guys haven't talked, and neither is Greg. No words at all out of those three.
Well, they don't have to. When
it's
we
the
can
money
just
well spent. You know, that's a great program. I'll go with that. I have no objection to the number.
So, do we have a consensus that we would like the $3,500, we would like to honor the request for $3,500 to Habitat?
So moved.
Second. Well, we're just getting a consensus. That's all we need, right?
Yeah.
Just a consensus on these. Anyone have any opposition? I didn't think so. All right. That's a go. I'll mark that one in green for go. What's your next one, Ashley?
Car Club, $1,500. That's historically what we have them.
Last year was.
That's
last
year.
And I think even the year before that was the same.
$500.
Oh.
I think I need to excuse myself on that one because of my tie with the senior center, and they're going to be doing the graveling there. So I need to excuse myself.
All right.
Is that a potential, or is that's more a potential? You're not getting any.
It's a cross between a potential and a direct. And I can't give legal advice. But one thing about it, there's enough people here, won't matter at the end. So you could declare it as a direct. And actually, under law, you have to declare it. I can't. You have to. You could be a direct, or it could be a potential. You're probably fine either way. And the bottom line, with this many people voting, it won't matter. Yeah. So, but that's fair to, you're right.
Now, we can move through this quickly or slowly, and we can do it the reverse way and say, ask if anyone has anything negative to say or whatever about each of these.
I have nothing negative to say about any one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if...
are we talking about just the ones in red?
Yeah. We're talking individually. We're doing car club now.
Okay.
I mean, we could sit here and say all the warm, fuzzy things that we want to say about all of these organizations and take a lot of time, or we could just say, you know, I'm good with this, let's move on, or I like this one, but let's reduce it. Is everyone good with the car club proposal or
I'm
not?
I'm okay with it.
I'm
good.
Yes.
I'm okay with it. All right. So, chamber, one-time request for signs.
It's needed there, so I would be okay with the chamber sign.
And
they need a good sign.
Me too.
They need a sign, and Ann's good with a hammer, so I don't think they're going to have any. You know, she'll do her part too. We're good with that? Chamber, yes. Is a go. Okay. And the next one?
The chamber banners for the lights on Huntington.
Oh, yeah.
And the banners.
I remember what that
was. Replacement.
I like that.
They're
a permanent thing, right?
They last 5 or 6 years. I think the ones they put
up
were 5 years ago.
Put them up for event.
They have 4 of them, and they alternate with the seasons.
Okay.
Winter, spring, fall, summer.
Okay.
She brought in the proposal with the different photos. Remember last time?
I just didn't know if they're up all the time or.
I think they are up all the time, and I think it's based on
these
seasons.
These ones have been there for a while.
Do you remember if that was a one-time?
No.
Is that going to be a
what's
recurring?
The banners? I think
the
that
banners.
Was also one time.
One time, okay.
Yeah.
The existing ones?
Of the new ones.
It says the request is for new banners that would be displayed through the spring, summer, and fall. They depict photos of our areas that were submitted by local photographers.
Mm-hmm.
There are 12 light poles with 13 banners and 2 with the welcome sign. And the cost of the banners is $100 each for $1,300. The chamber will continue to be in charge of storing and coordinating the volunteers to install the banners. And then they'll change them for the Frontier Days and Rodeo ones. Oh,
thank you, Connie. So that kind of answers the question, is that a one-time request? Greg had that question.
Yeah. It's not annual, but
so
it'll
come back again because banners don't last forever.
And they used to approach the businesses for that. So why aren't they doing that again?
That's a good question.
I think they've all been approached out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been approached.
Neither have I.
Okay.
Could I come over and approach you?
I'll tell you no.
Okay, so where are you going with this? Suggesting a lower donation and ask them to also approach businesses?
Yeah, I would say so.
What's that lower donation number?
Half of it.
7.5?
Mm-hmm.
No, 6.5.
I'm okay with the number. It would be they could open it up to private citizens too if you don't want to buy a banner.
Yeah.
You know, just a suggestion to them maybe. I'm for funding it now because I like the project, but with the recommendation, you know, you could sell a banner to a private citizen or a business.
If you fund it now and they don't have to work for the full amount, mm-hmm. they're going to hope to get the full amount again.
Okay, I see what you mean.
So that's,
and the first time I'm hearing that they've ever actually approached the businesses to get those banners, because I didn't know about that. So you know, that was a good way they were doing it before. I'm okay with that, but I'm also okay with how Stu said with half of that too, they can go and approach businesses or how they did it before.
Okay, how many in favor of lowering the amount?
$650. Right.
Okay. Would the $650 be okay? Is that the
right.
How many do we have there?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
I would leave it as
committee proposed.
I'm for the 13th.
And I think if you're going to change, then I think the next time down the road, or maybe we grant that money with the provision that the next time they solicit.
Have they had banners before?
Yes. That's fair.
Okay, so let's do numbers again.
So we're gonna propose that we grant them $1,300 with them knowing that the next time down the road they should anticipate approaching businesses or even private citizens for to buy a banner.
Different organizations.
If you have a future budget committee that remembers this discussion and
thinks that. We're gonna have a lot more pole banners.
Yeah.
You're gonna have 16 or some more light poles.
That's right.
Well, that makes
That's a good reason to do it also. Is to encourage them to expand their.
What if we went to 1,000 with that?
I agree with I agree with the idea of let's do it this time with a proviso that we are not going to fund the total any request for total banners in the future without period, and they'll have to bring in some kind of plan that they're going to get the rest of the funding from local business.
Okay.
And that make that very distinct and clear, and then they won't be coming back. Because it'll be the chamber coming back for this.
Yeah, I know.
My guess is. So
the chamber's
like
that. If you think that proposal will work, you don't know what a future budget committee is going to
do. Well, you could write the proposal and attach it with the TRT funding agreement.
Yeah. None of us will be around in those years. These things last 5 years. Business.
Hey, talk for yourself.
Oh, you'll be around, but you may not be on the committee.
You can't
restrict a future.
Yeah.
So can we take a hands on that?
Okay. Again, how many in favor for a lesser amount? We'll talk about the amount later.
For a lesser. Wait a minute.
Yeah, a lower amount than the 1,300. How many do we have? Half of us. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
That's five.
That's
okay.
Five. That's half of us.
Which means it's defeated. The tie defeats.
The tie defeats. Okay. So that means we're outvoted and they get the 1,300. That's what you're saying?
Well, no. But with the proviso.
With the okay.
That
what you want us to tell them is that remember it's not binding on them because it can't be binding.
You can't
but
bind
we can, what you're saying is in the future they'd like to. You would come in with a match of some type. It shows business participation.
Right. There you go.
Okay. And Hattie has that down in the minutes.
Okay.
But this chamber is probably one of the best chambers for a small town that I have ever seen. They do a lot of work.
They do. You know? They're good. Yeah.
You know, I think you're fine. I mean, you know what? I look at it this way because I actually don't disagree with trying to get the money out. There's a lot of communities do that. Again, we're trying to build this town, and the visioning thing down here last night, and what our LED meeting today, it's, I mean, and from their study they're doing, comes out people want this place looking better. Right. So, you know, those are pretty important. You come in with your new lamp posts, do you want them to say, well, half of them are empty because, you know, they couldn't gather an extra $500, you know, you just need to be careful of that.
But I think from last night's meeting and today's meeting, more businesses want to help the city get that way, so they're going to be willing to join in. And
I agree with you. I agree 100%. We're going to raise the enthusiasm level with the business as the economy grows. I you're absolutely right.
Or the city could buy fewer lamp posts with the little hangy thingies for banners. Then you don't have any of them empty.
Well, but they look good.
Okay. Last night's meeting, this is a marketing thing for Levine, too.
So, our next one.
Visitor Center is requesting $1,600 increase to their already 52,000 TRT. And it is to adjust salaries. It's
assuming that the minimum,
wage goes up, they can't cover it without that 16.
Okay, was that on our? Do we have
she
that?
Did
last
yeah, she did. She presented it as a last minute. Oh, since you guys have more money, and I didn't think about that until just now.
Okay.
That's how it was presented.
Is that
For the they want the 52.
If the in the minimum
higher,
wage,
yeah, just like $1,600, and when you consider it's already 52,000.
Does anybody know if the minimum wage is raised to 1150, when that would go into effect, it would be till January, would it?
Who knows? They've been declaring emergencies left and right.
Yeah, I don't know. Who knows? That could be January 1. I don't know that on that one. Well, they haven't voted on the minimum wage yet, not so yet. See, who knows?
That's a stupid mistake.
No idea.
They got you. Okay, I'll start. I'm all for leaving it at the 52,000, not granting that request. If we start doing, if the city starts doing this, then we're going to be more and more and more paying for personnel at the chamber.
I would support it only if they do raise the minimum wage. If they raise the minimum wage, then they're going to have to pay the wage, and they've not got the money in their budget to meet that minimum. This is across the state. It's going to wreck budgets.
My understanding is she did her budget two ways. One to accommodate that raise and one to not. Mm-hmm. And so I think that she has the money in her funds to cover the wage.
Unless.
My understanding is she has it either way. Her proposal was last minute, hey, since I'm here and I know you have the money, that I'm going to ask you for that as well.
Yeah.
It wasn't that she was lacking it in her budget, is the way that I understood it when she presented
right.
it.
You say that,
and I misunderstood that.
Yeah.
So.
I would like to see this postponed until the time that the wage increase.
Yeah, we have the money in the budget.
The money will still
back.
Be in the kitty.
The money is still there.
Yeah, we won't go anywhere. So
then I support Kitty's statement.
Yeah.
I do too.
Yep, all right. As you were saying, it means that there's still just more money that the city has that they can later on, could elect to do something like that.
Not that we have to, but it would be there if we decide to later.
Right. Okay, so at this time, in this budget for that purpose, right now we're not going to honor that, correct?
What are we?
Next.
Okay.
This is my favorite meeting of the year because I get to be a Vanna White up here.
I know you wanted to do that.
I did.
So those still, the other ones, if they want, the Frontier and Amy, talk about arts and culture because that's new. The rodeo, the council's already committed to the concert. So that's, and then the Frontier, as we've been doing the 2500, I'm just assuming people support that as a major event. In the community.
Okay, you said the council has committed to...
The concert. We committed to $5,000. Remember, we split it between the 2 years.
So okay.
Well, that one, I'm just saying, is you can.
Yeah.
So. What about the bike on?
Oh, well, yeah, the bike one, you need to decide what you want to do.
I go hiking with Scott all the time, and that was a very quick proposal. He has no clue what it would really cost. It was sort of a dream idea.
I disagree. I'm sorry. I sat here for an hour and a half with the ODOT project manager for this, and there's very definite numbers that these hubs are scalable. You can be a rich city like Mount Hood up on the gorge. And you can build a fabulous, or you can build a small hub that fits the community. So
they haven't even finished one yet.
Well, so let me finish. The whole thing is that Rick said it earlier. This is just getting started off of the ground, and they're in the process now of going around to the cities here in Central Oregon to get a consortium so that they can bring the price of it in at a cheaper rate. But these numbers that he presented were actually off of the expenses of the ones that they built in...
Hood River, for the Dallas.
The gorge. They did several of them in the gorge.
Yeah, one of those in the gorge. So the figures are realistic, and it's been scaled down to fit something like Lapine. So
the $11,000 is a scaled down bike hub?
Well, for the size, instead of being for Mount Hood or for the Dalles and that kind of thing, they had much more expensive hubs they built. With elaborate sheds and water fountains and walkways and bridges. So my feeling is that this is not going to get off the ground before the end of the year. I mean, there's going to be a lot more planning goes into it. I think it's something that we really ought to consider, but do we want to do it right now?
I would say not right now because the plan just isn't mature enough.
I agree with it.
When the plans are completed and they have something concrete to look at, then there
when they have some real numbers.
Yeah. Well, I think we commit $11,000 to something that we're not sure of. We might get some backlash on that too.
Yeah.
Well, I think Rick explained it last time.
Budget.
You know. Yeah. I think yeah. You know he talked about. You know, as we go further down the road, if this thing materializes better, and that's my same comments.
I looked at it. I mean, I think it can fit in nicely with the park downtown, and it could be part of our signage and things as we try to create that nice little downtown. But it could be. We need better plans, and it could be a phase in of a couple 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
I think the concept of kind of what he's doing. I mean, I don't know that you need a place to lock up bikes inside a container, but they do that in the cities, but you might, some of that you could do, have a little pull off and you know whatever, and a kiosk that shows bike trails and things, and it's just part of,
and that's what that is.
Yeah, I think that's, there's nothing, it doesn't need to be a whole lot, and I think they're 2 or 3 years out on this, so I think it's more what he really needed was, you know, we're not saying hell no to the concept or anything, it's just that we need to know more.
He wanted to propose it for the future, really.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to see some other involvement with that as well, with you know, some support from a bike club saying, yeah, this is something that we do or would like here, or you know, even if he just got even just kind of in-kind donations from them so that we knew that they supported the idea as well, I think would
yeah, maybe come back next year with a balance,
make it more feasible
of what he needs to complete instead of asking for the whole.
Yeah.
Also, what's needed is you need a larger network of bike trails. I mean, we're kind of isolated from.
We need a connection.
Yeah.
Between Sun River and here.
Yeah. You know, so who's ever running this thing needs to work with other agencies to get that kind of thing.
But you know, Frank, we do have a lot of bicycle traffic through this town and out Burgess and then back on Fall River, the Cascades Highway going out past Fall River. So there's a lot of bicycling going on.
Could have a lot more if you had.
And all of that's true. That's true. If we had a bigger system, you know, instead of building Kegel, maybe we build bike paths. You know.
Wasn't that part of Connect?
Trying to ride a bike from Kegel.
Okay.
My question is, do we want that?
I want to go down to the center. I want to go down to the center.
Okay, let's have one person at a time talking. When we do our, geez, I hate Alzheimer's. Anyway, I think I have Alzheimer's, but I can't remember. Our goal setting. Maybe this is a thing that should go on a goal setting list, as this is a project that the council, that the budget committee feels good about, which includes the council, so the council does, and just have that where it's going to be there, it's going to be recognized, and we want to always remember that we would like to have funds for this.
Yeah.
I think you could have a little statement in there, just like you are with the COLA and stuff. You know, it's just that, you know, the project wasn't deep, refined enough to be able to really analyze it, to support or no support, and a funding level. Because there's no plan.
That's well said.
So I think you've got 3 or 4 missing things on this.
Yeah. So basically, we can tell them it's now on our wish list, too.
And I think you'll get a report on a regular basis. On a regular basis, every 90 days, he'll come back from BPAC and give us an update.
Mm-hmm.
And he's an energetic type person, fresh out of the Navy, and he's... It'll clean itself up to a point that we can all live with just what you said.
And I think that's the way to do it, is to get the word to him, get updates to the council. That'll keep it fresh on the goal setting thing. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
we're all good on that.
Very good.
Yay!
that pretty well wraps up the budget in total. I'll look into the 200,000, but I think we're fine on that for the sewer because I have this.
Yeah.
And oh, here's the go to the weighting sheet real quick. Here's the kind of how you divide out. First, if you look over the kind of on the left side, you'll see the funds, and they kind of go in the order. So you have the general fund first, street fund, water fund, sewer fund, and that's where we divide wages around, and then the percentages. So you'll see the FTEs, and then they will add up, and we have a total of 7.5. And so you can then go across. It's got the benefits and Medicare, FICA, and all the different things. And then we put in a 3% COLA, so that's been kind of figured in for those who would be part of that. And then you get a summary down below that would then add up, because you got these spread out all over the place. So then you can go across and look at what the totals are. And kind of give you the that we do not have a wage scale, and that's one of the things when we get the assistant in. I'm making up a list of projects, but that's one of them. I want to do some surveys of other communities our size, a little smaller, a little bigger, and come up with. So in other words, when you come to work here. On year one, you know, normally, if any of you have ever worked, so a lot of times there's step increases for the first few years, and then there's COLAs. And if you've been there 15 or 20 years, you may only, probably after 10 or something, you only get COLAs occasionally. Here, we don't really have a pay scale, so year one, unless you give them a raise that you pick them out, it's just COLAs. Well, that's not right. And so, because that's how you, like, we have a new person over Public Works who's been with us over a year. You know, you need to have some of those steps those first few years.
Right.
So that's one of the things I'd like to do is that, and I think our personnel policy even talks about a wage scale here and there, but we don't have one. And Ashley thinks we need one because she wants in it.
I didn't see my raise on here. I'm disappointed.
Yeah. So, you know, we really don't have a lot of staff. You know, it's really, you got two people in the office, and, you know, one's on vacation, one's sick, one's at a meeting or at lunch. So that's, you know, kind of how you do it. And then they, Ashley works with planning a lot, and obviously with finance. She does all the accounts payables, enters all that stuff. And, of course, the sewer and water people are in every day, all day. Hookups, disconnects, you name it. Patty does all that stuff with Ashley. And then Patty does the general other stuff, the minutes and notices and all of those kinds of things. So we don't really have. And then what you'll notice is mine is not quite half of what it was. I mean, it's a little more than half because proportionally with some of the costs, it doesn't quite get there. But I'm going to move down to work less, as the council knows. And that's why we've hired this assistant. So the assistant's going to be here full-time because it's a little bit like finance. What we've discovered is with planning, all your, call it your administrative or your upper level folks, we have tried this a couple, three ways since the city started. Mm-hmm. They kind of did the recorder route early on where the city recorders are kind of city managers and they do finance. They kind of do all of it. And that's normal. Take Culver, there are about 1,200 people, but they don't have near the business district. They have a city quarter, and they do kind of the finance, and they have their QuickBooks. Matola has that. Sisters with 2,000 people has a whole lot of staff because they have a whole lot of value and a whole lot of things. So Lapine then tried it with no manager for a while, or no kind of... They tried with a manager and without a manager. That didn't go well, and they abandoned that. We have had a full-time finance person, and kind of, well, I guess we've had contract or part-time finance people. Some are CPAs and some are not. And so you kind of get that in all of this. We had a full-time manager for a year in between my stint here, and that had a certain success rate, and everyone has a different opinion probably of all of that. But I think the council's pretty convinced in what you're seeing is that we've done better when we have unique people at a certain level, but just part of the time. Because most of what anyone does, a lot of it is just, it's day-to-day stuff. And so right now, I go out and I take all the pictures on the code things. So you have someone that's probably, you're paying more than you need to, out doing things like that. And where you could get someone paid a lot less to go do it. And it's the same with finance now. It's actually worked pretty well. We're spending about $2,000 a month right now with her. It's usually about the bill, $2,200, $1,800.
It's never more than $2,200.
So say at the end of the year that's hers is 30, 22, you know.
36,000.
Well, no, we budgeted that, but at $2,000 a month, that's 24,000. But you then some years you have to do more and you have to be careful. You could get a different contract. So say in that $24,000 to $30,000 range, our last full time finance manager was about, or the salary was 50, I think. It was about 50, and it cost 60 to 70. You're getting for less than half.
Yeah.
So why the hourly wage that our it's a CPA, she makes $125 an hour. And when you sign that contract, you think, whoa. But they can come down and work 2 and 3 hours a week.
And do it all. You need.
And they have the credibility and they have the ability. Why it would be nice to have a full-time finance person sitting here that you paid $40 an hour to, you then end up making up for what we have found with all the errors, the mistakes, and the problems. It's the same with planning. You know, planners are 50 or 60, 70 to 100 bucks an hour. That's what they are. And if you're going to get someone down here, we wouldn't have a business for a full-time planner. And the same really goes for the city manager. You can have someone down here puttering around, just going to stuff, paying them a lot of money, but they really don't need to. And so the thought is you get someone that's an assistant that can learn to do that mid-level stuff. They maybe could become a manager down the road, but let them go to all these meetings and things. So at the end of the day, our payroll doesn't change too much, but it kind of takes the money and the time off of me, puts it toward this other person, and we will then now have that person here full-time, which will make everyone happy. We'll see if that works. We are in a tough size, and cities are struggling with this everywhere. They can't afford the skill levels at the top, but when you don't have the skill level at the top, you end up with lots of problems because the rules and the laws are the same. Doesn't matter how big you are. The excuse can't be, well, we're a small town. Well, it's fun, but the law is the law. So that's what we're doing with this.
So you're going to commit to another year?
I said I'd do it for a year or two. I say 2 years, but... yeah, and see if this works. You know, I don't know that it'll work, you know, and we may have to come back in a year and say that didn't work. I like to try things. I'm also one of the first ones to say that didn't work. So we don't have to buy into this and say, damn it, it has to work because we went down that path. Mm-hmm. No, if it doesn't work, let's change the path, let's change the direction.
Mm-hmm.
And
yep.
But this is where we're headed, and that's in this budget.
So the city's good for another year at least.
Mm-hmm. Do we know when Corey will come yet?
Corey, yes. We're going to hire tomorrow night, basically. Corey, his name's Corey Mike, he was here this last summer. And Corey is just leaving Washington, D.C. Actually left. He's home. I think he's home today in Oregon City where his parents live. And he just finished a year at the International City Manager Association where he was an intern working in Washington, D.C. So he's had a year in Washington. The year before that, he worked in Pittsburgh. He's getting his master's in public administration at Carnegie Mellon. And I talked to the folks at the International City Manager Association and the manager there and his department, and they said, oh, he's great. And I talked to the professor at Portland State University. He was in the Center Hatfield, is named after a fellows program. And we know him. because he spent 2 months with us, 3 months, 2.5 months.
And he's going to come in for a year.
I told him three.
Three.
Really?
And he said yes to that. And he has a sister in Bend, so he already likes to fly fish and hike. He played football in high school at Oregon City, and he coached Little League, or coached baseball over there. So, I mean, he's a kind of an all-around type. And people here liked him that met him. He presented himself well and carried himself. And that's what took me to him, is that his ability to interact with strangers and people, because I think people in Lapine will like him. And that's a key. We actually had another good applicant too. We could have, and I talked to him the other day, explained to him why, and he was working for the city of Portland, came through the same program, would have been great. And there's a lady in Idaho who would have been good, and her husband just got a job in this area, kind of. So we had plenty of some people, but you know, kind of Corey, we already knew him, and so he will be here next Tuesday. He's going to be
nice.
Here. He'll be here next Tuesday, we will then. We have a bunch of meetings and things on Tuesday, and then he'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. He is him and his dad, and his little brother. He's been in school for 8 years, and you know, when you get out of school and you've done this for 8 years, you've never. They are the dad and the brother are going to Europe for a 3-week vacation. He's never traveled out of the country, so they're going to go to all over Europe and be gone most of June, and he will be back here on June 26th.
Wow.
So.
Perfect scenario.
Yeah, we'll see if it works.
I appreciated Corey because he was so young, and yet he was evidently able to deal with some of the more difficult people and still gain the respect, and I think that's a huge thing for Lapine.
And so we'll get you guys to approve him tomorrow.
Okay.
Great. So that's that.
Does Stu approve? He's over there quiet all the time.
I'm sorry?
So do you approve your...
Oh, yes.
Oh, he's there.
Definitely.
Quiet.
Yep.
Okay. So what we would need is, if there's no other questions, it would be the budget committee would vote to approve the budget as presented and recommend it to the city council for adoption. And they will have a hearing down in a few weeks. It's on the 10th of June. And one other thing I did invite, well, do that, and then under the budget committee, the other budget committee I need some of you to serve on, and I've heard from some of you.
Okay, did anyone have any other questions, comments, concerns, anything? We thought we were going to have a little change in the budget, but doesn't like it. Just moving some money around. Does anyone have any questions about that, or any funds that they would like to shift around a little bit, move to different categories? So.
Move the proof.
Well, let's do it this way. I will entertain a motion to approve the budget and approve a property tax, to approve the suggested property tax rate of $1.98.
Yeah, we didn't. Just first year, we haven't changed that. So that's to levy that we do need to approve. Why don't we do two motions?
Can we do it in one? I mean, you're approving the budget
with the tax rate
that was proposed.
The tax rate is what we did last year, and the tax rate you can't change. It's set.
That's the maximum value.
Yes.
It was last year's article.
Yes.
$1.98.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, so I'll entertain a motion to approve the budget as presented with the property tax rate of $1.98 per thousand.
So moved.
Second. It's been moved and seconded. Let's have a roll call vote.
Aye.
Well, aye.
Yes.
Who is aye? Let's do a roll call vote.
Oh, Ken Mullins. Yes.
Greg Jones, aye.
Aye. Connie Brace.
Dennis Scott, aye.
Ron Alonso, aye.
Frank Schultz, aye.
Karen Ward, aye. Kathy Hagan, aye.
Kitty Shields, aye.
Stu Martinez, aye.
Motion passes. We will. This moves on to the council then.
So, if under the good of the order, if next Tuesday, I sent out an email to some of you, we have our urban renewal district that we formed, and this is the first time we had it, so I was busy working on this and didn't realize but we have to do that. The urban renewal has to have a budget. It's going to basically be about 15 or 20,000 in and saved. It's a one-page budget. But under Oregon law, you have to treat it. It's not the city council, and we were going over it today, explaining a little bit. It's totally different. The committee is the council, and there's seven of them, which these two serve on. But the other members are the public. They are like the city council. Then they have to have a budget committee. Since there's seven of them, we need seven budget committee. We can get by with three or four to go with it. I've got six of the seven have agreed to come to our of that committee. We'll actually be here next Tuesday at 6. And then I theoretically need seven others, and so I thought, well, I've asked the council, and I heard back from Karen. This is the only one I've heard back from the council. So I already know you two are going to be there because you two are coming. You're on the committee. You email me back.
Yes, I know.
And then Karen. So I don't know, and if you want to come in, it's 6 o'clock.
Did you get my email?
Yeah, but you're not on the council.
Oh, let's gotcha.
Yeah, and it'll be at 6. I thought we'd just talk about that at 6:30 we'd hold the hearing and be done by 7. Rolando told me he would come down to do that, and we probably could still use one or two more if someone wants. If you don't want to, it's not a big deal. We'll have enough. So
what time Tuesday?
6 o'clock next Tuesday, and she'll send out a notice. And then you have to come. Then the committee. Excuse me, just the committee. Then what we'll do is one night you'll have the hearing and approve it one night. Then the committee, that other committee, not the budget committee, but the board, the urban renewal board, will have to meet in a couple weeks. I was thinking we might just do it the night of the council budget hearing, like at 5:30.
Right.
They could come in and literally just do that. It takes about 5 minutes and approve that. And we're done. We're not going to spend any money. It's just going to set aside and save. And then we'll probably do that for a couple of years at least. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, then with that, first of all, before adjourning, I would like to thank Rick and the rest of the staff for all the good work in putting together a very well thought out and easy to follow budget. I can tell there was a lot of work that went into it. Probably didn't have to put near as much work into it as the prior year.
Yeah. Well, you're getting a system.
You got everything so well set up in that prior year. And, yeah, you made it easy on us. And I think we've approved a very good budget for the city.
I second that.
So,
great.
Doug, did you have anything? Or one citizen...
Well, you know, every year the budget gets bigger, more complicated, you move more money around, more time consuming, it's a lot more thought. The committee did make a couple of changes that needed to be made, and that's what needed to be done. And I think with what Rich put together, you couldn't do any better. I think you did an excellent job putting it together. And you all should be proud of yourself, because it's, like I said before, it's very important that the city never goes into red.
That's right.
Because if it does, you're all going to get fired.
Thank you for your comment, Doug. All right, if there is nothing else, I will adjourn the meeting at 8:19 by my cell phone, which is probably more accurate than that clock up there.
I'm doing the radio station at 8 tomorrow, your new one. So anyone up there, does anyone listen to that radio?
Yes. Oh yeah, I wake up to
8 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. 8 o'clock.
I do the 7.